This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm going to make a quick point, Sean, about Eli Manning's longevity being brought up as a core argument for him being involved, included in the Hall of Fame. Yep. This is what I would say, because one of our listeners said, well, it's being used against JJ, the longevity, which it will be, I suppose, his durability. His durability will be used against him probably in Hall of Fame discussions. And I guess that illustrates my point, really. I think longevity is a prerequisite, or durability in a lot of ways is a prerequisite, because you want to be able to show how many seasons you had as an All-Pro or Pro Bowler or all these things. So it's a prerequisite. It's not a core argument. It's not... they're not going to bring it up, you know, as one of the main reasons you get into the Hall of Fame, because there are, frankly, a lot of durable players that play a long time, some of whom are only just average starter caliber. So that's where we are.
My response to that texture would be, yeah, Eli's a guy that there is going to be a strong debate for because he's a fringe Hall of Famer. Is there any argument about J.J. Watt?
I mean, No, there's not. I mean, like, people will bring it up against him in arguments or whatever. He's a three-time defensive player of the year. He's in.
Right.
Like, that's it.
Yeah.
You're a three-time defensive player of the year. You're in. If Eli Manning had been a three-time MVP of the NFL, offensive MVP, then yeah, he'd be in.
He's not.
He's never been good enough to be even close to being in the MVP
discussion. He's barely been good enough to make the Pro Bowl four times.
He shouldn't have been the MVP at least one of those Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So the Super Bowls we're talking about, that's just one game. We're not talking about the actual
the whole season
MVP.
Yeah. Text message, I'd put Eli in the Hall of Fame just for the wink emoji with the tongue out on SNL. That is true.
That is a good one.
That bumped him up a couple
points.
Did you watch that after I told you to watch it?
Where he's doing the emojis and everything.
It's hilarious. Funny. It's hilarious. He was really good.
Somebody, Mike and Cy Fair, made the very good point after something I said.
Fajita Pete's.
He said, yeah, from Fajita Pete's. Oh, where did he say?
Boy, I got it right here. You want me to read it?
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback from the last time.
He only missed a game. This is talking about Eli. Mike and Cy Fair says, Eli only missed a game because he was benched for bleeping Geno Smith. Why are we talking about the Hall of Fame after that sentence?
Well, and I think that does go to speak to the point that these last few years were a lot of people, you know, I have to go back and look. It may have been even the last 4 years. He just had lost something on his arm where, in a lot of respects, he should have lost his job. The Giants should have drafted a quarterback long before they actually did, and he should have lost his job before he did. He's compiling all these extra stats to put him on seventh all-time passing touchdowns and whatnot in an era where it's a lot easier to get those touchdowns than it was even 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
That in a lot of ways, his durability might be an argument against him, that it just allowed him to be a compiler more than an actual awesome, awesome quarterback. Very, very good quarterback. He's in the Hall of very, very good, in my opinion.
Yeah, yep. Can't wait for that Hall to be constructed. It's the reason why Michael Jordan's birthday gets brought up, this is in response to Seth and I wondering, why is that a topic every year? Because generally, this is a texter saying this, Seth, generally it's All-Star weekend and Michael Jordan's signature shoe for the year comes out the same weekend. So basically what I'm hearing is Jordan makes it all about himself by dropping a shoe that weekend.
Yeah.
He alerts people. It basically calls attention to his birthday.
It's so, I'm not buying that. Like, there are other great players who have birthdays.
Yeah. Like, All of them, actually.
That coincide with various moments. Plus, the NBA All-Star weekend it's not that big a deal. You know why the NBA All-Star weekend is a big deal? Because it coincides with a really dead time during sports. Like, that's one of the only things there is to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael Jordan's... think about what you just said. That... during any kind of event anywhere, a player's birthday all of a sudden becomes newsworthy. That almost by definition, that only happens in a dead time as well. If something huge happens during that week, then we won't have to look up and see ESPN discussing Jordan's birthday.
I was really surprised by this article that you sent me from ESPN.com that it looks like it's using some pro football focus stuff in here. That the Texans, I don't know. I mean, I know you've looked at the article, Seth. How shocked were you when you saw that, according to this article, the Texans' rookie class, their draft class, their rookies, were ranked 30th out of 32 teams? I was really surprised when
I
saw that.
I was, just because I think Tytus Howard and Max Sharping are going to be starters on this team for a long time.
Yeah.
So my immediate thought was, well, you got two viable starters out of a draft class. That's doesn't always happen, actually.
At a position, at a position group that's been in disrepair for the last 4 years.
Yeah, but then when you start thinking about, okay, what were the contributions of the other rookies in that draft class, and there weren't a whole lot of them.
Well, here's how they explain, we'll go through the picks here in a second. Here's how the article explains the Texans' ranking of 30th. The Texans didn't have a ton of rookies take the field, but the ones who did all struggled in some capacity, particularly Lonnie Johnson Jr. His 36.0 overall grade ranked last among qualifying cornerbacks. Eesh. And his 128.9 passer rating allowed was second worst among cornerbacks with 50 or more targets. They then have a paragraph, how did their top pick fare? There's still room to grow for Titus Howard, but he looked like a starting caliber right tackle. He was right in the middle of the pack among qualifiers at right tackle.
Yeah, so I think that the fact that Titus Howard now, but Titus Howard also wasn't available for a large portion of the season.
He
it was
hurt,
part of
yeah.
the reason that you weren't as good as you could have been at the end of the year.
Yep.
So that's part of it. Collie Waring is promising, but also, man, I was so excited. And I made the key cardinal mistake that you should never make, which is I got excited about a mini camp performance. When there's no pads, there's no complex defenses that you're adjusting to,
this
anything
just
like that.
You're going
to
do it again.
He looks very, I know. Well, because he's very athletic, you know, and he's got a physique that it's a, I criticize scouts and coaches all the time for being suckers for physique.
Right.
They see a guy's physique and they think all of a sudden that has some kind of tie into how they play, and it almost never does.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys that are rocked up are good players, but there are a lot of times where guys that are rocked up are horrible players.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's something there with Collie Waring. And if he becomes a guy that can be a vertical threat as a tight end, that adds a whole lot to an offense.
Yeah.
Makes things a whole lot easier for a quarterback. But he didn't do a damn thing for you this year, so that's a mark against you. Lonnie Johnson was spotty with some signs of promise, yeah. but
penalties.
Not a real contributor at all, and not somebody you felt you could depend on. So it comes down to, I think, just sheer mass. Just quantity, like how many productive snaps did you get out of the guys in your rookie class? And Max Sharping is the kind of the crown jewel in that respect. Titus Howard could have been, but he got injured and he wasn't available.
Yeah.
So you just didn't get that many good snaps out of these guys.
I guess if you're asking me, to me, it comes down to, look, I don't follow the rookie classes for all 32 teams. Not my job. But it comes down to, how do I feel about this class? And if you're saying they're 30 out of 32nd, it means that it was a failure. Either that or everybody in the league is just kicking ass at drafting rookies, and we know that that's not the case. I feel okay about the Texans' rookie class. Titus Howard's going to recover from this injury, and I know they're doing it empirically, like you said. He missed half the season with a knee injury. That's going to impact the grade the way they're doing it. I feel my feeling about this rookie class, Seth, is much better than a grade of 30th out of 32 teams. They've got two future starters on the offensive line who I both feel are going to get better. Charles Omenihu is a guy who they picked in the fifth round who I think can become a good situational pass rusher, or maybe even a guy, depending on how Anthony Weaver wants to structure the defense and change things up on defense, maybe Charles Omenihu is a guy who fits in better into what Anthony Weaver wants to do going forward. And Cullen Gillespie in the seventh round is a guy who I think they should use more. I think he should be on the field more. I think he's a better blocker out of the fullback position than any of the guys they have at the tight end position when it comes to running some of the RPO stuff for Deshaun Watson. So I think Gillespie, I think they've got two guys who are going to get second contracts in the two offensive linemen. I think they've got guys in Omenihu and Gillespie who can be cheap contributors for you for the next 3 years. And then it comes down to going from feeling pretty good about the class to feeling great about it is if one of either Lonnie Johnson or Kahali Waring, preferably Lonnie Johnson because of the position he plays, develops, then I think you've got a class that's a solid class. Classes like that are ones that if you have Deshaun Watson at your quarterback, you get a few of those stacked on each other, you can win a lot of games.
I'll tell you what, and you're right, I think Omenihu, for us here in Houston, his impact feels like more than perhaps it looks like on the stat sheet because of some of the key plays that he's made.
Right.
He has this knack for turning the ball over in the Kansas City game originally. You know, he had some key turnovers in games this year. The Buffalo game
that was Whitney.
But he had some key turnovers in games this year. So the stats that he did produce at times were very timely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is a different type of player than they have right now that's going to make your defense more versatile. I'll tell you what, and looking back on Brian Gaines' tenure, this last draft I think is going to end up being a pretty good-looking one for him. I think that the 2018 draft, where you didn't have a first or a second round pick, right, but that turned into a whole lot less than I was thinking at the time. Justin Reed almost completely exonerates the rest of that draft because he's going to be such a great pick. When you're going to look a few years from now, I think Justin Reed is going to be a Pro Bowler, and he's a guy you got in the third round. That was a hell of a draft pick. But Martinez Rankin, gone already. Jordan Akins, I don't know exactly what's happening with him, but I don't feel as great about him as I did after his first year. Kiki QT, what the hell? You know,
Kiki QT might not make the team.
Duke Ejiofor got injured last year in the summer, and this is a guy that I kind of is a little bit of a dark horse to come in and be a factor as a pass rusher.
Yep.
He's a little bit in that Jacob Martin category of, all right, I don't know if he's going to be physical and big enough to be a complete player, but if what you're looking for is guys screaming off the edge, Duke Ejiofor and Jacob Martin might be the solutions instead of trading.
We can just skip to third down in every game. Yeah, that'd be
exactly.
Awesome.
Can
you guys start it off on 3rd and 10 for us? That would be great, okay?
This is what I'm banking on.
Right.
In the new CBA, they're going to go to Canadian rules, and they'll only have 3 downs.
Yes.
So it'll be a very heavily passing game. But, you know, Peter Kalambayi ended up getting some snaps this year when Bernardrick McKinney got hurt.
He's a special teamer.
Yeah, but Jordan Thomas again, too. We're still kind of wondering, all right, what's going on with Jordan Akins and Jordan Thomas? The pride of the 2018 draft class is almost completely hanging in the balance of those two tight ends and whether they become something. Other than that, you've got Justin Reed. That's the only guy you feel really awesome about right now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.